everybody. It's comedian Trent McClellan, and you're listening to my podcast called The Generators. Every single week, I have a cool guest, and we talk about life, professions, creativity, success, failure, and all sorts of other cool stuff. In every single one of these conversations, I learned a great deal, and I'm pretty sure you're going to learn a great deal, too. So hang on tight, and thanks for listening to The Generators. Absolute Canadian classic, all uncovered by the Watchmen, and that's a relevant tune for today's podcast, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Welcome to The Generators with me, Trent McClellan. If you are returning, thank you for your loyalty and your patronage. I really appreciate it. You know where you sit. Go ahead, grab that favorite seat of yours or whatever it is you do. If your ears are new to this, thanks for checking it out. I hope you enjoy it. Hope everything's going well with you folks out there in the world. I'm recording this right now from my home in Calgary, and we are going through an insane heat wave right now. I think it was 32, 33 or something today, which, of course, is you can, quadruple that on your patio. That's what Canadians like to do, right? Yeah, it was 32, but, like, on my patio, it was, like, 104. Like, that's a Canadian trait. And we do the same thing for the winter. Yeah, it was there, but it was colder at my place. So it's crazy, crazy hot right now. And I think this is the boiling point of the summer. And then on the other end, it's going to be hot all week here. And then, of course, I think after that, every day, it's a degree less. Every day till eventually, frost warning. That's right. You're welcome. That's Canada for you, just slowly chipping away. The bucket fills up, and then it slowly leaks until it's minus 35. But so, yeah, enjoy this summer if you can. Enjoy the sun. Get out there. Be careful. Be safe. Drink lots of water. Don't be in the sun too long. I sound like your mother. What am I doing? That's not my job here. I'm a podcaster. I'm a comedian. Okay, I'll get back to that. What's going on with me? I have been doing some guest spots around the city, getting ready for some big shows coming up. So here you go. Maybe I'm coming to your town. All right. First of all, Calgary, Alberta, playing the Laugh Shop, August 30th to September 1st. Three shows, one Thursday, one Friday, one Saturday. All the shows are at 8 p.m. You can get tickets at the laughshop, I think, .com.ca, the website. Tickets are on sale now. It's my last show in Calgary for quite a while because I head off to 22 minutes in Halifax literally the next day. So I would love to see your faces. If you're not into camping on the long weekend, you're not into, playing hide and seek with bears. I don't know what you do out there in the woods. Come on down to the old Laugh Shop and we'll laugh at life together. Love to see you. Also, I figured, hey, you know what? I'm going to Halifax. I don't know. Why don't I do a stand-up comedy show or two while I'm there? So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Brand new comedy club just opened up a few months back. I've heard great things about it. It's run by the fine ladies who also produce the Halifax Comedy Festival. It's the Last Laugh Comedy Club. I'm playing there September, I think, 14th and 15th, Friday, Saturday. Two shows, I think different lineups on each show. We got Lachlan Patterson, Sophie Buttle. I think Honey Brander's on these shows. Ton of laughs, ton of talent on there. And I'm looking forward to getting out to Halifax. So I think you can check out those shows, too, on Last Laugh Comedy Club. .ca, I think, is their website. So tickets are available for that right now, too. So I'd love to see you at that. Going to be a fun couple of nights. Also, quick shout-out to my boys at the Calgary Foothills under-23 team, the PDL team. They are the PDL champions, ladies and gentlemen. They went down to Reading, Pennsylvania, and they handed that team their first loss of the season. Bam, on their home pitch in front of their home fans. Here you go. Is that our trophy? You damn right it is. And they grabbed it and got on the plane and brought it back. to Calgary. Congratulations. I went down to the old Ship and Anchor pub last night and celebrated with the team and coaching staff. And congrats to Tommy Wheeldon Jr., the coach, and everyone involved with the club, because it's a lot of work, a lot of years of preparation, and to finally win it all is a pretty sweet feeling. So it was great to talk to some of the players about the game, the championship game, and the season in general. And, yeah, kind of hoist a few with those guys because they put a lot of work in. So what a great end of the year, of course, with the championship, and also what a great launch into the Canadian Premier League season next year, where I'm sure a bunch of those players will probably be suiting up for Calgary, Calvary FC in April. So congrats to everybody there. Job well done. Way to go. Okay, all right. Let's set up this this episode, everybody. If you may not have guessed it, if you're not, I don't know, CSI material. I mean, I don't know what your skill set is. Based on the song I played off the top, my guest this week is Danny Graves, lead singer of The Watchmen. That's right. That's right. Rock, Canadian rock legends. Okay. Okay. Nothing less. Legends. These guys put out such great music over the years. Stuff that I, you know, in my university years, I mean, that stuff was just on constant rotation at any of these 15 houses that I would have lived at in university. You know, classic songs, Boneyard Tree, Lusitana, All Uncovered, Stereo, the hits go on and on. And, they were in town about a month back playing a show during the Calgary Stampede. And, Danny was, kind enough to pop over to my place and, the next day, and we sat down and chatted about the show the night before, which had some technical glitches that we kind of start the interview with. And we talked a lot about a lot of great stuff that I think you're going to enjoy. I talked a little bit about, you know, maybe the Tragically Hip's influence on the band and Gord Downie in particular. And Danny goes deep into that one, which was really, really cool to hear. And talking about the music business in general and creativity, songwriting, parallels between comedy and songwriting, and just a great conversation, man. A good dude, and really appreciated his time. And so if you're a Watchmen fan or a music fan or just a fan of creativity or, I don't know, just a fan of good conversation, I think you'll enjoy my conversation with Danny Graves. So here it is coming up. Thanks for listening. Jump into it. An open book. I see a new album.
Open book. Yeah, I don't think that'd be a good name for an album.
It's not really good. No, it'd be confusing. People are like, I'm looking for this book he's got out. Can't find it anywhere. No, that's the name of the album, idiots. God, I need smarter people in my life. How you feeling about the show last night?
It feels good, actually. I like that it's the next day, and I
you like that it's the next day?
I like that it's the next day now, and I can look back on it. You know, the show days are a challenge. That was a tough one. There was a lot of things going on, and you know, you always hope that the people that come there get a good thing, and you want to make sure it happens right, and it did. All in all, we did have some technical glitches, but I mean, it's not really a big deal. I'm glad we got to, power went out. We got to go back on, but it was touch and go.
Yeah,
we weren't going to come back on, and we were saying, God, we saved our best three songs for like they're coming out. So I don't think we played anything that they knew for the first hour and a half. You know, it's like we gotta like satisfy a little bit of what they came here for. So
yeah. That's why I was busting your balls when I came back to the side, and I go, are you doing that encore thing where you just prolong it? You want them to start chanting your name? Like,
breaking
all right,
the walls down.
All right, they've earned it. Let's come back out and really give them the hits. Like,
no, it was, our stage guy was tearing stuff down already.
Yeah, I saw him unplugging
shit. And he was like, and we sort of said, okay, we'll do it. He said, well, half the stage is torn down. So, okay, well, then you only have half to set back up then, because we need to do these tunes. And if everything's working, so...
Yeah,
but whatever. You know what? I don't know who said it. Well, my drummer, he said it, but it couldn't have been his original idea. I know that. But you know, shows are good when something happens. You know, you can kind of go through. You know, go through a show we've probably done. You know, maybe south of 3,000, but not by much in terms of 30 years worth of shows.
Right.
We're in our 30th anniversary right now.
Crazy! Congrats, man.
Thank you. So, like, and you just, and sometimes you don't remember, like, you don't remember a lot of shows. Like, oh, was that the one where the band room was kind of outside or the toilet was in the center? Like, you have to remember the show a whole different way from,
piecing it together.
You know, how you played or what songs, who knows what songs we played. It's just like, yeah. But then when something happens, like, you forget the words. And then, like, you know, like, those are the kind of moments that I think make shows special. You know?
Yeah.
Even if it's like the worst thing in the world, and then, but then you get through it and you get on the other side of it, and then you have this great way to remember the show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Moving forward.
You feel that too. Like, I find in stand up the same thing. Like, when something, cause you can get into a pretty autopilot fashion when
Absolutely.
You're doing the same thing every mm-hmm. night. Mm-hmm. And, you're right. If it's a waitress who breaks a glass or somebody yelled something out and it
right.
just, there's an excitement to that. Like, there's a tangible yeah. change in the room.
Yeah.
You know?
The unexpected, there's like the, yeah, there's something, energy heightens and things are, you know, things change. And that's, people don't, I mean, I think performers realize that.
Yeah.
And I think that the audience will remember something special. Remember, you forgot, like, I've done this. I forgot the words, the second verse, and the audience starts singing and helping me. And
yeah,
I mean, it seems like it's a ploy, but it's like, no, actually, you helped me there. Like, I didn't know what I was doing there.
Thank so, God you were there.
If you weren't there, we would have stopped and started again, you know. It would have been so yeah. So that's really powerful, and that and it doesn't happen very often, you
yeah
know? And that, and last night there was, I mean, I had a couple of drinks in between when it was like, okay, we're done. Like, power's out, can't do anything. And I just sort of, you know, kind of went a little overboard. And then all of a sudden we had to go back on. And it was like, oh my God, like, I'm not sure how, what's going to happen here. You know, I wasn't sure what was, you know, it's like, I know I can do it, but I just don't know what, you know, how it's going to be. And it was great. I, there was something that happened that, just like the last three tunes we've played thousands of times, and it felt like something happened because shit wasn't gonna, you know, the show there was a threat of it just being over, like, really sort of prematurely and run. We had no power to say goodbye, you know, like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
was, that was sort of what it was.
That's right too, yeah.
So,
couldn't
so,
even
yeah.
announce what was happening.
Well, and we couldn't, and nobody could. And then, I was talking to some girls like an hour or so later afterwards, and they didn't know anything that happened. Like, it wasn't obvious to
yeah.
people that, oh, you know, bad stuff happened. It was like they thought, oh, they just decided to stop in the middle of the last chorus and walk off the stage.
That's their new thing now.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. You've heard enough, you know. And
you know,
and
we change it up and keep you on your toes.
Right. So that was, you know, so when I heard that, I was like, well, thank God we came on again to just at least explain to the people who, you know, aren't paying attention as much that,
yeah.
yeah, we didn't do this on purpose. This wasn't in our, this was the worst thing that could have happened, you know?
Yeah, so, just so you know.
Yeah. So
sweating bullets back here.
Right. So I'm glad, you know, I'm glad, cause really we weren't going to do it, and then we decided to do it and it worked out. So
I think it's cool too, because for the folks that did know there was something going down, I think there's, when you do come back out and you do kind of pull it out of the fire, I think there's an excitement to that too. Like, this yeah. is going to happen, and yeah. we are going to hear those tunes we all
right.
wanted to hear.
Right.
Cause it was really cool last night. Like, cause I was at the side of the stage there, and like, to look at faces of people, like, it's really cool to watch
people
enjoying
watching.
It. You yeah. know what I mean? And I, you know, as a performer myself, I made a kind of a pact a year or two back to get some more live shows and see the bands mm-hmm. I want to see and comedians that I want to see live. Because mm-hmm. for a while I was like, well, I'm performing. Last thing I want to do is go to a venue now and sit, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really still cool to be in the audience and kind of just watch people's faces.
Yeah,
like,
for
you know?
Sure. Yeah, I don't do enough of that. Like, I'm in Toronto, and I want to, and I'm like I own a little bar in Toronto, so I see really great stuff that comes in. The bar's gotten really high in terms, like, really low key people who nobody knows and people who don't bring anybody with them or anything. Like,
yeah.
it's just sort of music for music's sake. We don't make any money on it.
Yep.
I just, it's like, I have it cause I want it. And, you know, and so, but I love it. Like, there are things that, you know, people, and I sing with some of the guys,
cool.
And it's just, I think we've segued, you know, we can get back to it, but I just, it just reminded me of this. So I decided to start talking about it.
No, go where you want.
Yeah, I need to get out and see more shows. And I was going to ask you when you're in Toronto again, because I love comedy. Like, when that was another thing too. I'd love, just in my early touring years, and maybe it was like what I don't know what was on TV like in the 90s, like if what late night comedy stand ups I would have seen.
Yeah, yeah.
But I saw like a whole bunch of guys and stuff. Like I remember things. I don't know the names, but that's, it's become part of my language. Like I just tell the same jokes, you know, and they're all some other guy's jokes,
right?
That I hear. I don't tell them as they're mine, but it's just part of my language now. And I just realized it's just so, I've remembered stuff for 20 years. Have this, you know, like Dana Gould. I mean, you probably, you know,
yeah,
Dana,
yeah,
Gould,
yeah, 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 yeah. Hilarious.
Actually, he was the last stand-up guy I saw in Toronto. I said, we got to see this guy because I love this guy. He said something that made me laugh for fucking 2 weeks, you know? And and it's just like, so that was such a big part of what I loved on the road, you know, and on the radio,
yeah.
like stand-up stations or whatever.
Yep.
And I don't really go to comedy shows in Toronto, and it's too bad.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff there, I'm sure, coming through all the time.
I bet there is. I bet there is. Yeah. And it always makes me, you know, having these kind of conversations and you know, being lucky enough to sort of say, oh, wow, this girl can really sing or whatever, like in passing, just realizing that, yeah, you know, I gotta check out more stuff because it does inspire me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, there's always that. There was a period where I didn't want to listen to anything when I was like writing my own stuff. Like I didn't want to be encumbered or affected by a thing. Like in the studio especially. Oh, listen to this great Radiohead tune. And I said, no, I can't listen. You know, I'm writing this verse and I don't want to hear anything else. And whether for better or for worse, that was just sort of my vibe. But now I realize that when I see people, I just think, God, I want to do that again. Like I want to.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like we're still doing it, but you know, actively, I want to, you know, write more of my own music. I'm doing some solo stuff,
cool.
Like just piano and voice shows occasionally. That's sort of a new thing for me.
Yep.
I've played piano my whole life, but I dropped it when I was just in the band. So I had to kind of relearn how to do my stuff and say, I wonder if I could put like a 40-minute set together of stuff that didn't piss me off or that I could actually get through it myself and sort of not be embarrassed by it or think that it was good enough to get out there. So I did. It took about a year to sort of, I have a piano in my bar and sort of rehearsing and playing, and I've done a few of them, and it's like, it's awesome. It makes me feel, it's kind of a new thing. And it's not... it's not anything I thought I would do. And I'm just sort of saying, okay, I want to start getting into the local Toronto scene. I've never been in the local Toronto scene because you're always like, you're the guy that gets you, they fly you here and you do shows and whatever.
Yep.
If we're a local anything, we're a local Winnipeg band, but it's been so long that we're not in that scene now either. You know, we're sort of, we sit in a place that's sort of our own, you know?
Well, I think that happens too, like in comedy, and it's easy to do, I guess, because when you get to a certain level of success, you kind of, like, comedians often will, like, not go to open mics anymore, or they won't.
Right.
Like, you kind of forget, you know, I've had it happen to me where I go, oh, that's, I need to get back to that. Like, that's how I started and generated all this stuff.
Yeah.
That grunt work, that every day being around it, what are other people talking about? Like, you just seem to have your finger on the pulse more so.
Yeah.
But once I started doing shows across the country and started playing shows in the U.S. and stuff, last thing I wanted to do after coming back from a tour is like, I should go hit an open mic on a Tuesday night. It's like, I want to spend time with my wife and dog and do whatever. So you start making all these excuses, but at the end of the day, I'm like, nah, I still got to fill the well up. I still got to, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, I don't do it as much. But I mean, I'm glad that I bring in, there's music that comes into the bar and that I see and I realize, yeah, you know, these guys are great. And I've talked about, so yeah, we should, and actually there's been one of the guys, the jazz guitar player. So he was doing a show at this other bar and said, hey, you want to sing a couple tunes? And we sort of rehearsed this thing. And it's like, yeah, like in the underground jazz scene. I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty, it's tiny in Toronto. Well, it's not tiny. It's just, it's, I don't want anybody to offend anybody that may or may not be listening.
As the bloggers start, jazz bloggers start.
I know. They're going to have me for lunch.
Did you hear what he said?
But just the idea of singing in front of three people in this sort of jazz thing and being at a sort of a different club and just this thing that I don't ever do is amazing, you know. And I find that the songs, he wrote these kind of little songs, no words, just sort of like singing with his crazy jazz shit that I can't even count. I don't even know what is happening. It's like, am I coming in right? Like, 'cause I don't... There's a whole bunch of shit that I don't like. I feel like I want to turn my head to the right when I'm singing this, but am I?
Yeah.
As long as I'm doing it okay, and I was for most of it, and but it's like just a whole, you know, a whole neighborhood of things that I don't know, and there's nothing better than that. You know,
it's exciting. And, yeah, I think when you leave that comfort zone to a certain degree, that's it's terrifying a little bit, but some great shit comes out of it.
Yeah,
usually,
no,
you
it
know?
Does, and I feel that. I feel that way more. The Watchmen doesn't do that. It does other things.
Like right.
It does, you know, it satisfies like a whole bunch of people. And I'm humbled that people still give a shit, really. Like, I it's been a long time. And I understand it because that's the way music is. It's a timepiece. Like, oh, I like this song. I think about this when this happened 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. then you like that song forever, you know. So yep. That stuff doesn't go away. And so I realize that because I see it every day within the who I'm a fan of.
Right.
So I do understand it, but still, it's like, you know, I was always just thinking, guys, anybody going to show up? Like, I can't believe you guys are going to show up, you know? And now they're coming with their kids and they're, you know, and it's just, there is a lot of loveliness to it, you
it's
know,
amazing.
To all of that. And I don't take it for granted because there was a long time when it wasn't happening, you know?
Yeah.
And when we weren't really talking for a few years when we kind of just, you know, went our separate ways and then kind of came back to it years later and still, and people still cared.
Yeah.
You know, we took a whole bunch of unintentional time off and people still cared. So
it's amazing, man.
Yeah. It's really a beautiful thing.
It's a testament to, I think, to the songs, to what was created, and you're right. People, I think, especially with music, people really hold on to it. It does kind of frame a time in their life, but like mm-hmm. you look at it now, 30 years, like when you started, I mean, did you have any concept at all when you got the band started? Was there any goal? Was there any kind of what this is, if we can do this, man, we'll have done it. Was there any kind of way to register it and kind of measure?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. You know, I definitely, after the first record, it was like, God, I hope this one's huge. 'Cause I can't imagine writing another record. I can't, yeah. I just think, yeah, this is going to be huge. And it wasn't huge. It was the beginning. It set up the next thing, which set up the next thing. And that's sort of what happened, like with us anyway. Like your head's down, you're working, you do like a bunch of crappy shows, and then they'll throw you like a hip opening, open right. to the hip somewhere, like in the 90s. And it's like, oh my God, this is like, you know, it was like going to rock and roll school, you know,
yeah.
to just sort of watch those guys sound check, let alone even play yeah. the shows. And then back to your playing a 10 people or playing a 50 people and playing or whatever. And just sort of seeing it grow. I remember a turning point was when people, I think my memory is that it was at Sate. I don't remember what year it was and what song it was on. Maybe it was probably All Uncovered or Boneyard or like
yeah.
the second record. When people would, they'd applaud when you walked on stage.
Ah.
Like that was this turning point. Whereas, and honestly, the first time I sort of looked around, I thought that something else was happening. I said, oh my God, it's because we're walking on stage. We haven't even done anything yet. Oh my God.
This is what it feels like.
This is, and I do. I remember that. I remember, I don't even know if we weren't even headlining that show. It was like, we were kind of considered, we were a big opener. And maybe it was for the hip, and I don't remember, but I do recall it being, wow, this feels different. It feels like radio's working, or they saw the video
yeah.
or, you know, and it was just, you know, you get these, we were lucky enough to get these great little tastes of like what success in this business can be. And we got them enough sporadically over the years that it just sort of kept us going and next record and next video. And, you know, until, I don't know. I don't even know until. I don't even know what happened. It just, 20 years happened at that point.
Bam.
Yeah, and the hardest thing you realize, the hardest thing about being a band is staying together, and that's like such a cliche, but there is a lot of truth to that. And,
yeah.
And, you know, there's no band that is immune from that kind of stuff. When you, it's an unnatural situation when you're living in somebody's back pocket for 2.5 months, you know, and then a week off, and then another 2.5 months, when it just... It's just unnatural. You don't see anybody that much,
yeah.
you know? And it's unhealthy, you know, I think in general, you know, the hour and a half on stage is the easy part. It's the other, you know, the other 22 and a half.
On a bus with this guy.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, or driving yourself, or it's just like, and everything pisses you off and you just people who are in bands know that stuff, you know, and it's just, it's the unintentional. That's why there's side projects. That's why I'm going to go try this for a bit. I'm going to, you know, that's why all that stuff happens. And if you're lucky that it helps the band when all that stuff happens, you know, you kind of, you do a little different thing, you come back to it or whatever.
A little refreshed. So. Yeah. I think, cause I think about it as for myself as a solo performer, I'm like, I wish sometimes I had that, you know, a collective wisdom, so to speak, of, you know, other people that I could bounce stuff off and travel with and all those things. But I also go, I would then have to kind of share my vision. And it's like, well, that's not, that's not how I want it.
I
want, and I don't know how easy I'd be able to part with, you know.
There's no, that Sting said, there's no democracy in art, you know. And that's why all those guys brought in tunes. They all the Police dudes, they all brought in tunes. And it's like, no, this, just like, listen to this one. Listen to, you know, it's like, come on. Like, so, and I've thought of that. There's a buddy of mine, Chris Finn, who's a regular at my bar, who's a comedy writer for, was the Rick Mercer show.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of stand-up and knows a bunch. I don't know if you know him, Chris Finn.
I don't know him, no.
But he's in sort of an era that... anyway, just we've talked about what he does, what I do. And I couldn't... I think it'd be pretty tough. Like, I love being on my own. Like, just because I've been... Like, I like the sort of the solitude and, you know, traveling on my own. Like, if I'm doing a show or having my own hotel room and just doing my own thing. But I couldn't... I don't know if I could... imagine being like a solo artist traveling around, like as much as I traveled around with the band on my own. I think it'd be weird. It'd be kind of a little scary.
Yeah. I've had moments where I think about, like, you're not having the best day, so to speak, before showtime. You're not feeling overly energetic and you get to the venue and you're like, it's all on me, man. Like, it's, and I think sometimes if you're in a band, it's like, you know, you can be a little off, but there's a bit of a machine and a net to catch you a little bit. Not that, I mean, there's more pressure on you, I think, than probably anyone, but as a lead vocalist, but.
No, but you're right though. Like, there is a bit of a machine. I can, you know, and I can do it. I have to do it. I'm not able to do it as much as everyone else. Just sort of like sit back and I'm going to play the bloody song again and whatever. I don't need to smile. No one's going to see me or whatever.
Right.
So it is a little bit more tough, but. But still, there is a machine that you could just go into it and it does support you. And, you know, so I've thought about, you know, could I do this as even a solo music artist, like the way Billy Bragg used to do his thing, you know,
Workers' Playtime and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was, you know, that's one of my, like, I grew up with that music and one of my, and still stuff I listen to, like probably stuff that he doesn't play anymore or whatever. But
dude, I remember being in university, dude, and maybe this was... Yeah. Due to some late night drinking one night, maybe, but put on Valentine's Day is Over, dude.
Oh my God.
Bunch of grown men sitting around like, you crying? Yeah, I'm not crying.
Man, that's it. That record, I know I could sing you that entire song like right now.
Unreal.
I won't, but
feel free, man.
It's,
I got a Guinness, so you do what you need to do.
it's beautiful.
Beautiful song.
The beautiful, beautiful song, beautiful record. I met him that. During that tour in Winnipeg, and I remember pissing off the person I was sitting beside because I was singing everything, every sound. I knew every sound of every song available in Canada.
Yeah.
And he signed my shirt and my ticket, and he was at the folk festival. I met him. Like, it's just, he was such a part of who I was for, I don't even know why. And I'm not sure why it happened, because all the political stuff, I knew all the words, and I didn't even know what he was saying. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
It just resonated in some way.
I just loved his thing. And then the love songs. There was like the political ones and the love songs, like St. Swithin's Day, and just ones that just like, holy crap, this stuff. And I listen to that music like every day almost.
Yeah.
Like, you know, playing it in the bar, it's like, all right, no one's in here. People are saying, oh, can you play this? It's like, you know, no, I'm not playing that. I'm gonna play my stuff.
I own this place.
Go next door. Go anywhere else. Yeah, or listen to your own Spotify. Do your own thing.
Put your earbuds.
You can use my headphones. Beat it, kid.
Later, man. Here's some real good stuff if you want to be a man.
Yeah. And then occasionally someone's like, God, man, I can't believe you're playing Billy Bragg here. This is awesome. Like, some people get it. It's like, holy crap. I said, you know what? I guarantee nobody... in this whole city is playing this song. There's Billy Bragg in any bars right now that being played.
It was funny, man, because it was an older guy on my soccer team at university who introduced me to him. Because it's not something I would have, you know, back in the day going into a, you know, Sam the Record Man or whatever. Yeah, like, no. I'm not going to go buy a Billy Bragg. Because it was all video heavy. So he didn't have a video profile. So I was like, he's like, dude, listen to this. And I remember just being like, I hadn't heard anything like it. I couldn't even compare it to something else. There was no category to even put it in.
Absolutely,
it was
not.
Just on its own, you know. But that album, and it's funny, you know how you kind of rediscover stuff, like songs that went away. And I'm gonna literally go download all that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
the Workers' Playtime is
so good.
I have that on my.
You ain't got no Billy Bragg in your life out there, people. If you're listening, do yourself a favor, all right?
Yeah.
Get some Billy Bragg.
He's one of the greatest.
Yeah, he was fantastic. You mentioned opening for The Hip at one point, and I did want to talk to you about this. I think I was at a bookstore last week, and it was a beautiful hardcover book on The Hip. And it was a weird feeling, like, looking at it. I was both happy because it's a beautiful book with great photographs, but I was sad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, for you and your band, you seem to work with them quite a bit, I think, didn't you, for a little while when you first started. What kind of influence do you think that Gord Downie may have had on you, your career, you as a front man as well?
Mm-hmm.
Speak to that a little bit.
Well, we shared management for about 10 years, like in the 90s.
Right.
So a lot of the shows that we got were sort of based on that. We're just like, oh yeah, we'll kind of like get thrown on the bill. And, in terms of, and I mentioned it earlier, just it really felt like you were, it was like lead singer school, you know, in terms of the, we weren't close as a band, we weren't not close, but just like they did their own thing and we ended sort of later on towards the end of things. But yeah, the mid 90s were pretty instrumental. They, I know it's hard to even describe. It was just sort of, we were very envious of how they could sort of do what they just meld their way into song. They would start songs differently all the time. Like one got different, you know, just musically, just sort of noodling. Oh, this sounds like it might, and then this other guy comes in, and it just, you know, the song would just sort of appear before your eyes. You know, it would, you know, a minute's worth of musical sort of ramblings would all of a sudden sort of culminate to the, oh, I love that song. I didn't realize they were playing that song.
Right.
But it just, they just sort of got to things, you know, or what, and to me at the time, what seemed to be so organically and authentically that, you know, we as a band were very envious of that. And I think tried to do it and did succeed in certain respects. You know, we didn't, you know, take what they were doing, but we took what they were doing and added it to our sort of wingspan and ability and whatever came out that was, sometimes successful. And as a singer, I loved the stuff that he said in between songs. Yeah. You know, I just loved the energy, the frenetic. I mean, I saw them in Winnipeg, I think the first time our manager, I'm not even sure if he was our manager at the time. It might have been our agent said, yeah, go check out this band, The Hip, playing this dump in Winnipeg, the Portage Village Inn. And I think there were maybe like 9 or 10 or 15 people there, and they sort of walked up. And, you know, Gord at the time had sort of like this Jim Morrison vibe, like his hair was in that sort of. And I was like, holy shit, this guy, like, he's like a bucket of water, like, just swimming, like, and there's nobody here, and this is just the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And just sort of, so that kind of, you know, that sort of, you play to who's there and not to who, you play to who shows up and not to who doesn't show up. I mean, it's pretty easy to say, pretty hard to do when you're on stage and you don't feel like it and nobody shows up, you know?
Yeah.
So I just, that sort of... you know, that sort of attitude, that work ethic, that, you know, that whole thing was inspiring, you know?
It's cool. Cause in the book itself, I thumbed through a few pages and someone asked him about, you know, you're playing these arenas in Canada, but when they go to the States, they play these smaller clubs and how, you know, do you see that as a kind of a step backwards? And he's like, man, like, these people who are coming to see us. Right. We're having a great time. They're having a great time. Everybody wins. It's like, but again, it's what glasses you're wearing, right?
Do you
feel grateful that these people have come? And yeah, it's not Madison Square Garden, but right. it's a sold out, you know,
but if you're shitty to the half a house that came out in, you know, down south or where you're, fan base isn't as strong, then the people that came out are going to only be taking that with them.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be...
Exactly.
They're not... They don't know. It's like, oh, great. Like, I got a good seat, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
And it's sort of, you know, it's that sort of attitude that... and I feel that way. I feel that... And that's happened now. I'm sort of getting back to that with the solo piano shows. Like, I've done... And I don't lead with the foot of don't you know who I think I thought I was, you know, when right. I walk into these things. Like, it's not, it's like, I actually prefer, you know, just, I'm just the dude with the keyboard, and let me see if I can impress you with no, when you're not supposed to like me or anything.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That's sort of a feeling that I haven't had
yep.
for a long time. And I love that. And I've played at my bar. Well, the actually, you know what, when you drive me back to where you pick me up from, I'll give you one of my albums. It's like this
sure.
4-song vinyl that I recorded in New York.
Oh, I love
like
that.
Live at the Rockwood in New York. And it's just, and there's nobody there. There's 12 people there. Like
yep.
you can hear like a smattering of applause sort of after, but whatever. Like I, you know, flew down there and played with this girl that I know who plays at the bar in Canada on Thursdays. And it's like, yeah, let's do the show in New York. I know this guy, and I know the guy who books the club, and he'll give us a Tuesday or whatever. So I've done that a couple times, and it's amazing. I don't ever think that I'm grateful to, I want it to sound good. I want to see, okay, can I make this sound good? Like, can I just get through this set and make it sound good? It's not Watchmen tunes. It's not like anybody else with me. It's just sort of, can this happen right? And, and so I love it. I sort of embracing those when people don't expect you to be good. And then by the end of it, you are good. And then you actually can physically see you've turned them from this to that. And that's pretty valuable stuff.
And you're right. You're not riding the coattails of a band's success. It's like, no, just on its merit right now, 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
This piano.
And I love it. And I've actually, I was trying to get my agent to get me a show in Calgary in the next couple of days to, there's somebody I can warm up with, just do another thing. Didn't work out, but that's the stuff that I want to start doing. You know, I want to do a bit more of that and just not, and I'm not looking for money. Sure, I'll take it, but it just throw me on the gig and give me a couple of drinks. And thankfully I can do it and doesn't, I don't need to feed my family this way. I can just do it 'cause I want to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's sort of a little bit of what's next for me or trying. And the Watchmen shows as they come up, I'm always the first yes in the endless loop of emails that what about this and what about that, and let's try and get a bit more cash, and let's, like, you know. So yeah, I just say, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, yeah, sounds good.
All good. All good. Yeah. Tell me where I gotta be.
Yeah.
Flight. It is interesting because I remember going through a period in my own career where someone told me when I first started, they said, you know, enjoy this time right now because this is the most fun you're ever going to have. And I remember being like broke and like doing the worst possible gigs and driving and losing money on gigs to get these places. And then you start to have a little bit of success, but then the business side of the whole thing starts creeping in. And, you know, there's agents and there's managers and there's this festival and this person got this. And you're constantly looking over the fence, seeing what someone else has.
Right.
And I kind of lost my way for a little bit where the joy, the ultimate joy of just going up and performing for people, which is why I started.
Right.
That feels good. They feel good. Yeah. Everybody wins. That kind of, I forgot about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you need to be reminded sometimes of that kind of, oh, that's why I started this shit in the first place, you know?
Yeah, well, that's kind of where the band's at now, where we don't have a manager. We have our agent that's been our agent for 30 years, one of the biggest in the country. And anybody who knows, anybody who wants to get a hold of the band, or they know who to ask. They've known for 30 years who to ask. So it's just sort of, you know, the offers don't come pouring in, but for things like last night, for, you know, there are still people out there that care. So it still sort of happens. And I think now, because for so long it wasn't happening, I'm humbled by it. I'm humbled that we can do it. And we really are doing it for exactly the reasons why we started doing it. And that's just because it felt good in like Joey's parents' basement. We turned the lights off and like put our easy. we turned the lights off and pretend we were, you know, walking on to Madison Square Garden or whatever. Yeah. And it just like all that shit you do when you're, you know, 13, 14 and, you know, so for all those reasons why, you know, you get into it because you think it's so cool. And then you realize, yeah, there's a lot of it that isn't very cool, you know, and then you figure out a way around it. And,
yeah.
And the music, you know, hopefully if you're lucky, the music wins, you know, and you realize, okay, well, this is why I'm doing it. And we've been lucky enough to come back around to that, you know.
Do you think, too, there's also been a, I don't know if this went away at any point, but kind of a reappreciation of everybody in the band and what they bring. Do you kind of need sometimes
yeah.
to,
yeah.
that time away does provide a bit of clarity
Absolutely.
To go, shit,
yeah.
man, we had something pretty special as yeah. a four. As a four.
Well, song. Right. I mean, maybe when you're in it, you're only able to see their deficiencies. You know, you're only able to see what they can't do. And then you take a few steps back and you realize that you see the other side of it. You realize what they can do. And
yeah.
you realize that, yeah, you know, that guy really pisses me off, but that's a really good tune, you know? And that's like, and that, you know, you just sort of like, you figure it out, you know? And
yep.
there's still elements of that. Like there's the jokes that like, that happen and just the old wounds that have become new jokes or old, you know, just like, but you know that if we were on the road, if we had to do a month in a van or in a bus together, it would end exactly the same way, you know?
Yeah.
You know that, oh my God, like, you know, Sammy said, God, it feels like I've been on the road for a month and it was 36 hours in. Yeah, we just finished the first show, man. We got one more tomorrow. And then I'm not seeing you for 6 months, you know?
We can do this.
We can get through it. But it's funny though, but we're far enough away from, you know, the constant work together and the stuff that we're not able to do really right now. We're far enough away from it that we can look at it and laugh at it. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm grateful for that, you know. I'm grateful for it. I'm trying to be as grateful for all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know, it feels like it's harder to be grateful and it's and that's a little ridiculous, you know, if
yeah.
you think about it.
Well, it's funny, I was listening to an interview with Dallas Green and he was asked about someone was getting into the music business right now. And he's like, you know, what would you tell this person? And he's like, dude, I don't even know. He's like, because when he started,
yeah.
The music world was so different. He's like, I don't know. Like, throw something up on YouTube. He's like, I honestly
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah.
Do you feel that? Like, this thing has just completely 180 the way compared
yeah.
to where you,
oh,
where
yeah.
you got started.
I don't know. So, oh, you should put out another record. And it said, you know, I don't even know what that means. I don't know how you do that. Like, what do you actually do? Like, you... Like, it's not, it just doesn't exist the same way.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. There's a few people come in at the bar and, like, one guy sort of brings this girl. Oh, yeah, well, you know, Danny knows how this stuff goes. He's like, he was doing it. And she's like this 21-year-old kind of, like, jazzy, kind of cool singer. I said, God, I don't know. You know way more than I do about what you should be doing now. You
right.
know, I don't, or my son does. You know, my 14-year-old knows what, you know, what he hears or what they hear. I think, you know, you don't realize it at the time, like in the 90s, like what we were rich in the 90s, rich with record companies. They were signing a bunch of stuff and they were, I mean, I just told the story the other day. They spent $80,000 on one of our videos, the record company. They didn't even play it. And 80 grand, we weren't even like a super priority at the label. They liked us and we had some good tunes, but it was like that's what was going on. Like it was like, that was the kind of money they were throwing at the B minuses of their kind of Canadian catalog
right.
at the time, you know, that's like Oasis helicopter money, you know, like that, like that's, and they didn't even play it, you know, and it was kind of crappy. And, but that's sort of like when they were doing that. And now you got to go, they don't know anything now. They're like, they're a skeleton of what they were. They're sort of, they're, you know, some record companies getting into the merch business. Like they're just like, they're struggling to find, you know, sort of income streams and changing with the times. You know, I think now, you know, it's far from figured out, but I think the online streaming revenue is now sort of in the neighborhood of what the buying records revenue used to be. But that doesn't, you know, I think now the good thing is that the artist has more control. You know, you can do whatever you want, but you'll sell no records, or you'll sell them on the stage or off the stage or at shows or whatever. But that's, I don't know. I mean, I think the cream still rises to the top, but I wouldn't know how to tell somebody to do it either. I'd say, well, I'll give you Tuesdays at Motel. Like that would be my first thing. And you know, and bring your friends. The more friends you bring, the more money you make. You can pass the jug around, and you got to do it because you love it. And I guess if you love it enough and you keep doing it and you're good, then something happens. But what that something is, I don't know. Like they've actually adjusted going gold or platinum in Canada used to be, you know, gold was 50,000, platinum was 100,000. I mean, gold now I think is now 30,000 in Canada.
Wow.
And it just sort of speaks of, I mean, if you sell 10,000 records right now in Canada, they figure that's like tantamount to selling like 150, 200,000.
Insane.
Let's say 15 years ago, based on how many people, based on like all the online and the YouTube and the Spotify's and the down, you know, just based on the reach that you have with that 10,000, that speaks of, you know, exponentially more. So more people know who you are, making way less money on, you know, the selling of the records, but then, you know, you'll sell t-shirts at your shows, and there's just, there's a different model, but it's out there, you know, I would agree with that I don't know what to tell somebody sort of how to do it. I mean, I'm sort of trying to, you know, I'd like to put out my own record, my own sort of solo thing. I'm saying, well, you know, I don't know. I was that's sort of why I started playing live again, just with my sort of solo in that solo way, is because, oh, you know, I'm going to get this. Let me get a record out and then let me do this and then I'll start. It's like I was just putting all these obstacles were being created. I was creating all these obstacles for myself. I said, well, why don't I just try and play for 40 minutes? Why don't I just do what I know I can, sing out loud and I can play piano and give me 6 weeks and I'll be able to play decently, a little bit better. And then that's what's happened. And then that will create something else. That'll lead to, you know, and if it's, you know, if it's meant to be, and if I want it to happen, then it'll happen. But it was really liberating. You know, 3 or 4 or 6 months ago, this saying, okay, I'm just going to play these shows. I can do this now. I'm not embarrassed to sit down and play and sing for 40 minutes. I feel it hits the bar, hits close enough to what I need to do.
Yeah,
sort of out loud, and that changed everything, because now I'm going to just work on that, and the rest of it'll. Well, and then realizing, okay, well, I'm going to record this set that I'm doing in New York. And then, so now I have a little 4-song EP of piano and voice. And
awesome.
That's sort of, all right, instead of like, but like 6 months ago, I had a mountain of obstacles in my way to even start doing anything, you know?
And now
I have this record that whatever, I sell at shows, and it's, and, you know, it's as good as it is. I'm proud of it. It's absolutely live. There's no tinkering, which is a big deal these days, because you know, you never really know what you're hearing.
Yeah.
But you know, all the sounds on that recording are me and only me. So it was a big deal. It was a big deal, and continues to be. You know?
Yeah, I think the cool thing about it, and because it happens in the comedy world as well, is that number one, the gatekeepers aren't as prominent as they used to be. So you can kind of generate your own thing. You have to push past that fear of like, oh, well, what about that? It's like, that's going to be there anyway. But if you can say, well, what can I control? I can control putting material out there in the world, finding a fan base. There's tons of platforms to put it on.
Right.
That's number one. So that's kind of, when you reframe it, like the way I look at it now is that's kind of encouraging. And number two, at the end of the day, it's going to come back to just loving doing the work.
Right.
Like that's
right.
Because even if you go in the machine and you become the global phenomenon, at some point you're getting dropped off that ride.
Right.
And what are you left with?
Yeah,
you know,
you
better still love getting up there and playing those songs or telling those jokes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the good thing, is it's kind of stripped it down to you better be happy doing this.
You better like what you've picked. You better be into it, because. And that's right. Like, concentrate on what you can control. Like, I can't there was too many things that I couldn't control in terms of, oh, I got to get a manager. I got to get this agent just so I can get some shows. And then let me get some studio time. I got to get a computer because I need the new version of Pro Tools. So right. I can, like, that was a big thing for me because I was a Pro Tools guy years ago, and I was away from it for so long that it's all new now, and my computer can't do it, and I need a new, all new this. And so it was all these, well, now I got to do this. I got to do this show before I have the money for a computer. And then I got to, so it was just all, I just realized all that was happening. Is I was just,
shit in the
just
way.
Putting shit in the way of it. And I said, I have a piano in a bar that I own that I'm there every day. So why don't
and I can
just,
press a button that I records
just, like,
that.
And I got, yeah. And I, but not even like I could, the recording it, I just wanted to play it. I just wanted to make the sound out loud,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and do it. And then it's, you know, it's stuff's falling into place, you know? So, you know, I'm grateful.
My wife makes fun of me because I go, I'm going to do a planning week this week, and I'm going to Staples. I'm getting wall calendars. I'm putting them up. I got markers. There's sticky notes. It's like, just go write a joke. Yeah. Like, what's with all this shit? It's
what's
like,
with the remodeling?
I'm getting ready to be creative.
What's with the remodeling?
Exactly. You're doing a home reno show? Or are you going to go up and tell jokes about cats? I don't understand. It's just, and again, it's just delaying the obvious work yeah. that needs to be yeah. done, right? Yeah, at the end of the day.
Okay, now I got my book. Check out this book. Yeah. These lines, I got lined paper on this side. No yeah. lines on this side.
Yeah, look at that. You know, I got the punchline over here. I got the setup here. And that's what I'm going to... Yeah, you're gonna use that stuff anytime or just keep setting just it up? I tell you, if someone comes in here, they need to write a joke. Everything's there ready for them. Someone should break in and need to build an act.
Yeah.
Yeah, mind yourself.
So, but, you know, it's so simple, but it's not simple at all, you know?
Like, oh,
you
man.
Just the tricks that your mind plays with you and but it's like it's part of the process. I might like when I got shows a couple of days before shows, I'm not a good guy to be around. I get mad. Like that's like I gotta get prepped for the show and I'm not thinking about it in the bar and the kids and it's just like I'm pissed off. But then but it's been so many years of that everybody around me no, oh, that's just my process.
You got a show Thursday.
It's just my process. And then at the hotel, it's like the guys talk, well, yeah, write the sets. And it's like, you know, you just fucking do your, you know, you just have your thing. And then it all goes away. You have, you know, a couple of little whiskey and you're there and then you're on stage and then it all goes away. And I've just realized it's taken me 20 years to realize it. And I'm like, what the hell? Why do I hate this so much? And it's like, no, I don't. It's just what happens. That's just me getting ready for a show. And, I don't know. I just, it's a pretty neat thing that I've been lucky enough to do for now more of my life than I haven't, you know?
Yeah.
And it's,
right.
It's a pretty big deal. And I don't take it lightly.
I realize that too. Comedians often joke like we feel like one day someone's going to just show up at your gig and go, all right, dude, we know what you've been doing. Right. What do you just go up there and say this silly stuff and people pay you? All right, we're shutting this whole thing. Right. Like the whole occupation will just be taken away because you're enjoying it.
You're not doing anything, man. You're not
anything. Travel around. You make fun of stuff and people.
Right.
And people pay you at the end.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be a thing anymore.
It's
so, So I go, day. We escaped another day. There's another gig. It's still legal.
Always looking over. I felt that way. And I spent a bit of time doing music for commercials. And, well, actually, it was more like short. Well, the music for moving pictures, music for TV and whatever.
Yep.
And it was just like, I just got this computer and I got some good ideas, but I just got this one little way of making sounds. And I was always waiting for somebody to say, no, you can't do it that way, man. I was just like, literally, I'd go into this mix. I'd deliver a mix to like a guy with like way more shit than I have in my house. Like, and it's like, he's going to say, like, he's going to look at me. Like I was always waiting for that, for that time when it's like, no, you can't do it that way, man. It's not going to work. And it never happened. And then I did some good things and I did some stuff I was proud of. I'm not doing it anymore, but it was a real neat experience to just, you know, the idea of making something from nothing, you know, like that's sort of my definition of what, you know, I/we do. Like it just, you know, you walk into a room and there's nothing there, and then you leave the room and then there's something, whether it's shit or not, you know, you do it enough times, something's gonna rise to the top. And that's just, that's something that shouldn't be taken lightly, you know? No. I mean, art of any kind, or writings, or not even art, just whatever, just like it before me in this moment, it wasn't there. And now it's there.
It's there.
And then that's sort of, I've always sort of, when thinking about it in my own, you know, stripping it down to what that is. I don't know. There's a value to that, that hasn't even been realized yet. You know,
I agree. I feel like I've always felt like all art is hopeful for that very reason, that you start with nothing. You take all of your experience and whatever that is, the muse, whatever it is, it goes through you. And at the other end comes this thing, a song, a joke, a sketch, a movie, a book, whatever it is. And now that's going to now give some kind of enjoyment to somebody else. Yeah. Like, it's pretty,
and,
it's pretty
and it
powerful
can last
thing.
For, you know, case in point, you write songs that last for 20 years and longer. And it's like, yeah, that's like, there's nothing, you know, what did you do today? You know, like it's sort of, oh, I just did something that's going to last for like 50 years.
Like, what'd you do? I rearranged this cabinet, took these books off. Remember those old papers? I threw those out. Nice work.
Yeah, no, it's, but you need to, a lot of people do it, but you need to be able to take a step back and realize what you're doing and what's happening. And
yep.
like that's how you're. And that's something like I didn't do enough of appreciating where we were when we were doing it. Like we were in Australia, had this great experience in Australia and great success with stereo. And it was like, but we were just all, I miss my wife, or I just like pissed off at this guy. Like, Jesus, man, you're in Australia, you know, and they're paying for us to be here. Like, you're not even,
everyone's really excited.
Yeah, and it's, and you know, so there's so much of that I regret of just not. So I'm trying to, you know, the pendulum swung the other way in terms of trying to appreciate what's happening here.
Because
it's not going to be around forever, and
enjoy it.
You know, enjoy it.
One of the songs, dude, that I loved, and I mean, I love all the Watchmen songs, obviously, but there was a song I think you did with Doctor. I think it was Balancing. I was like, dude, I still have that CD in my car, dude.
That's one of the tunes. I don't know if, I don't think it's on the live record, but I've started to do it. Piano and voice,
nice.
Sort of muscular piano and voice version of it. Yeah, that's one of that record. Some of the best stuff that I've written, I made it on that record.
That
it was
great.
Just a period of time that just sort of worked. Me and my buddy Rob Higgins, who's in a band now called Dearly Beloved, and we just were hanging out and became friends. And you know, I don't even remember how it happened. You know, just. But we were just at the right time, and we just started writing tunes, and that was one with the whole. It was funny because the Balancing. There was a song, I think it might be "Day Sleeper" by REM.
Great song.
Where he says it's furious balancing, it's curious or furious bits. But how he sings it is that the word, it's like an audio. Well, it's like the word does what the. The word is sung the way, like balancing, like this. It's sung the way that illustrates what the word is as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually wrote the song Balancing based on that, what he had done there. And I don't know, or that was how it started. Anyway, it's a weird sort of thing, but yeah, there was something about that record, and it was, you know, a piece of time, and. I couldn't sort of see it through to its fruition. It just, the band is breaking up. I was having another kid. I sort of jumped into that, but I just, like, I couldn't start at the beginning again. I couldn't start all the way down at the beginning. This other guy was like, fuck, let's go. Like, it's great. But it's like, yeah, I got, you know, it's too much stuff. I can't do this. Like, my first marriage broke up. It was like all these things. It was just the wrong time for all of that. But the record is, you know, and that's why when I was sort of figuring out, what song should I? So there's a lot of songs that I've written on my own. There's a few, in terms of my solo piano voice thing, a couple of Watchmen tunes that are done in that stripped down way, but a couple of Doctor songs that I just like, God, this is such a great song. Some of the best stuff I've ever said out loud, this version of it. It's my tune. Like, it's just, so a lot of my stuff has sort of created the... the solo stuff. A lot of the stuff that I've done sort of, you know, over the years has been sort of, you know, included and created in this set that I do. But yeah, a lot of Doctor tunes, and yeah, I'm really proud of that time of things.
Yeah, it was a really, really good album. It's funny because I was going through my basement and went through a bunch of CDs, and it was one of the CDs that came out. And I'm like, man, I haven't heard this thing in forever. So I put it in the car, and it's like, I had it on panic, like driving now. I was like, I think I'm speeding. I think I'm speeding right now. I better slow down. But like balancing to me is just just a real thumper. It's like, it's up here.
Yeah, that and me and Nick Drake, the last tune on the record, is a favorite of mine that I also play on the piano and voice way. But yeah, it's, you know, that kind of stuff just adds to, it's in the atmosphere. Not a lot of people know that record.
You know?
And I don't, you know, I have a bunch of Doctor shirts. Actually, I brought one with me here. just because we have like a box of shirts and we never sold. And it's like, I got laundry now. You know, it's like, this is easy.
I've done that too.
Mediums, I got larges, you know, like, whatever.
I get a closet full of merch upstairs. I'm like, all right, I think I'll throw this one on. I got an extra large.
Depending on the time of the month, the time of the week, you know. Yeah, I'm a medium today. I feel like I can fill this out today. Okay.
And I was running to another comedian at that time. He's like, you wearing your merch today? If I can't wear it, who can wear it? I made it.
It's my shirt in every way, man.
I should wear every shirt I have. Songwriting process for you, would you say it comes in a bunch of different ways? Some just kind of fall out of the sky and come formed as is? Is it more of a childbirth type thing of pulling something and tearing at it and you put it away for a couple of years and come back to it? What is it like for you?
I think it's probably all of those things. It all comes different ways, I guess. For me, I think I probably hear melody first. I hear melody in kind of vowels, like I feel like I want it. Yeah, and I know, I don't know what the word is yet, but I know the kind of vowel that I want it to be within the melody that's happening. Like with Stereo, let's say, I knew it was going to be a song when I said, my life is a stereo, and I said, well, I don't even know what that means, but then I just wrote everything around that, because I liked the way it's sung. I liked the way it was sung, and I liked how it sounded when it was sung, and it just sort of... But that's actually easy when that happens, or it's easier, because then you can just start sort of, okay, you have like a central idea that you can sort of, you know, branch off on and, you know, talk about the cables being all screwed up, and you can, you know, this and that. For me, it's mostly melody. Like, I don't, my lyrics are valuable, and sometimes they happen first, but it's mostly melody and vowels and... You know, I'm trying to think back. I remember the building I was in when I wrote Brighter Hell, because it's now demolished in a condo in Toronto. And I was like, yeah, you know, I look at that, when I look at that part of Toronto, I think, yeah, I wrote the Brighter Hell in that area, you know, that sort of like abandoned warehouse. There's some really cool places to rehearse in Toronto, like in the 90s, all these kind of, it's a rehearsal spot, like this sort of abandoned kind of part of this building that you walk into one building, you're actually, you end up going through and you're in another building, but you can only get through it. Like, we just say weird shit that the, where you were. And it just, I remember sort of, you know, locations and feelings. Oh, that's where we were when we did that. And when I thought that, that's where I was. And, but you know, I think right now I need to write more songs. I need to make like, right. Like, 'cause I find that I keep going back to old songs and trying to make them better. And right. I have successfully, a lot of it for like this piano voice stuff that I'm doing. But I feel like there's a reason why I'm not starting it again. Like, just where I'm not starting from scratch. Like, I don't feel like I've made something from nothing in a little while. You know, I feel like I've made a lot of things better that I at one point did. That at one point was my original idea, but you know, I feel like I need to, that I'd like to be able to do that, you know? So I'm constantly a student, you know. I don't know how I'm going to write the next one.
Which is exciting.
There
comes a point where you have to kind of, you know, I think we all have to at some point, you just trust that it's coming. Like, you don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
You have no idea, but there's that, I think you develop a faith and a trust over... over a long career of like, it's coming. I don't know what it's going to look like. It may show up at 11 p.m. Right. as I hit, put my head on the pillow.
Yeah. You know? Totally. You want to be ready for it. And, you know, just sort of, I feel like I'm doing the right thing in terms of just immersing myself in the music, you know, and playing piano and trying to just, even when I don't feel like rehearsing, just, you know, sitting down and just, you know, hammering something out. If it's for 2 minutes, fine. For 2 hours, like whatever, I just want to make some sound or do some something, you know. But yeah, it's it takes on a life of its own, you know. But I, in true artistic fashion, I'm not, you know, I should be doing more than I am. Like I'm right. You know, annoyed that I'm not. You know, it pisses me off that I should be able to do it, and you know, but whatever.
I find it tough too, like as a creative, because you know generally. You know, you don't have a boss who's got a gun to your head to get this shit out. So it's all on you it's hard. So it's okay. Well, what lies am I going to tell myself this week to not write these new jokes or whatever it is? And I go, look, man, I got to draw a line in the sand here, and I got to have something ready for, you know, 2 weeks' time. I'm going to have a new 5-minute chunk, and that's got to come from me. But and I think it's probably the same thing for you. But the other thing I was going to say was because I feel this in stand up too. How much of it do you feel is like getting out of the way? Like I find sometimes, you know, an idea comes and I'm like, that's good. And I kind of play with it a little bit, but I always think I can make it better. And I can, I can do this cool turn of phrase and this metaphor. Right. And sometimes you just need to get out of the way, man. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, I do. I do agree with that. See, it's too much of this. And now I had some
now fucking, fog.
The thing I was
fog.
Just going to say was going to be brilliant.
Brought mind blowing.
Gone forever.
Creative process.
I think like getting out of the way is important. You have to trust yourself enough to sort of know that. But then it ends up being kind of your process, I guess. You know, I mean, you know that you need to get to that point to then get back to take all the last, you know, 5 minutes you're thinking out of the way and to get back to the original thing, like sort of circle back around to it, I guess. I do sort of feel like when I was sort of, you know, recording, doing a lot of sort of home recordings and recording my songs, like there were like, I would do 200 takes of like a vocal. I'd be singing, I can do that better. I'd do like a lead vocal. I would just do a pass at it. Like for 6 months, I'd go in and just do a few passes. Ah, fuck, I love that. That's great. And just, but then it's just like, it's just a bit of a wank that I'm sort of, you know, just trying better. I'm not making the song better necessarily. I'm just sort of like doing this thing for me, you know.
Yeah.
But then it ends up being, you know, but maybe that's part of the process, you know, like maybe you have to, you know, I'm not saying this to you, but just in thinking of it, just like you have to get in your own way to then get out of your own way.
Yeah.
You know, and realize that, okay, well, I'm gonna do all this stuff, and then chances are it's not gonna be any better at the end, but I sure still need to do it, like, and try to do it. But yeah, I agree. I mean, the simplest, easiest songs, like the quick ones, like the stuff that's happened, like you hear that sort of historically where you spend months on something and then this little throwaway, like you ain't seen nothing yet. It's like the BTO or the guests, I think it's Backman Turner. Like they that ended up being like the big single, and they wrote that as a joking song about like his stuttering brother or something, you know, because there's that sort of stutter thing in it. I was like, what's this? You know, like they're working like mad on this whole other thing. There's this throwaway tune they did like in between tunes.
Yeah.
And that's one of their biggest tunes, and it's on Chevy commercials now.
So that's right.
So, you know, it just like it's amazing what can happen and what does happen, and just to, I guess, embrace it, embrace how it is. Like that's where I'm getting to, is like all my idiosyncrasies and all my, you know, like sort of neuroses about all it is. I'm just sort of realizing I'm trying not to have it bother me and just realize this is what happens when you're me and when you're trying to do this and you're me, you know, that's sort of, and to sort of get to know yourself like that in that sort of way is valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, you're right. A little bit of compassion for yourself and understanding like, okay, this is what it takes for me to create that thing. I go through moods myself from my, oh, okay, I know what it is. I'm feeling some anxiety about a big show coming up or this tour starting. Mm-hmm. And you do go in those little places, I think, sometimes. And I realize, like, yeah, wait now, I've been here before.
And that's the thing. But you know, you need to, sorry, I just need to.
No No worries.
I'm getting hell over here.
You're in so much trouble.
You need to know yourself well, but you can't know it until you go through it.
Yeah.
And you know, now it's like, you know, my wife will be like, yeah, you're pissed off because you have a show in like 48 hours or 36 hours.
Yeah.
Like everyone knows that. Yeah, don't talk to him. He just got up from him the day before, and there'd be times I didn't say anything. I'd get up in the morning after, like on the road, and like I wouldn't talk for fucking 8 hours, you know? Yeah. It's like, yeah, and just like, just you hate everybody, and you just, like, it's just, yeah, that's just the process. That's what's happening.
Yeah, it's because you care, right?
So, yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's...
My wife was very underwhelmed being on the road with me because, like, show day, she's like, well, we're in the city. We'll go out and do this, this, and this. I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to be out of the sunshine, staying well hydrated. It's like, this is the worst life. It's like, welcome. Yeah. Welcome to my life.
Welcome to my life.
All right, well, we'll get ready to wrap this thing up. I've asked this question to a bunch of people on the podcast because someone asked it to me once in a job interview, and I thought it was a great question. The question is,
Jesus, you're building this up.
Oh, dude, this is gonna. You may want to get a counselor after this.
I hope my answer is, dude, yellow. That's my answer. I'm giving my answer before.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with yellow. It's like the old Johnny Carson thing. Like, just put the envelope up to the head here. The amazing, whatever his name was. What is the biggest misconception people would have about you, and then what is the reality?
Biggest misconception. I think that I'm not very friendly. I think the misconception that I'm not friendly. Friendly is not the right word, but just not a social friendly guy going out and, you know, meeting people and being, you know, I think that would be a misconception. But I think that's born of being, you know, you all right there?
We're good. Yeah.
I think that's born of, you know, being what I was, you know, doing what I was starting to do, what I've been doing now for 30 years when I was 18. I think it's sort of, and just figuring out, okay, how do you deal with when people kind of want to talk to you or like they want to, because, you know, they go to a show and it's their celebration. It's the 40th birthday. So it's like, it's a party, you know, and then and that's why I don't, like, people shouldn't see me before shows, and because I'm not, like, I don't care, it's a fucking party, like, I'm getting my game face on, and so I think just that I'm sort of aloof and unapproachable, I mean, historically, I don't know now, like, and now I'm just the bartender that, you know, kicks out the guys in Parkdale that are, you know, can't seem to find the toilet with their pee, you know, or whatever, you know, like, that's... but I think just as an artist, sort of historically, I think that's what I would say, just aloof and unfriendly. And the reality is I'm shy and uncertain, you know, I'm always, you know, want to make sure I'm doing it right. Want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. I want to, you know, I think if you would ask me that at the beginning, maybe. I would have knocked it out of the park.
I thought you did great.
I think it was a swinging bunt. I think that's what
we're good. Well, I think you've proven your point. You've sat here for an hour and change, and we're nothing but friendly. So yes. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay.
So
good stuff.
Well, thanks for doing this, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
It was awesome.
I appreciate your time.
Awesome. There you go. Another sweet episode. I hope you enjoyed that one. That was great. I recorded a while back, but I listened to it again just before doing the old intro and outro here. And such a good thing. And even when I listen back to some of these, I still pull stuff out of them that is great for me going forward too. So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed that one. Also, don't forget to give us a review on the iTunes there. I would really appreciate that. And don't forget to subscribe. Lots of great episodes still coming up. Also, don't forget the shows in Calgary on August 30th to September 1st. And, of course, in Halifax, September 14th to the 15th. Can't wait to see you guys. Hope you're all well and enjoy the week. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.